Greetings, friends and listeners. May you be blessed by today's program as we lift our voices to declare, souls are crying, men are dying. We must do all we can at any cost to win the lost while there is still time and liberty. The message you will hear today, Will the Real Christian Please Stand Up?, is a clarion call of the Holy Spirit, and it came forth under a heavy burning anointing. And I pray you will be touched by the same anointing as you hear this word of the Lord today. And I'll be back to tell you how to order our message, Will the Real Christian Please Stand Up?
The scripture says in Hebrews 12:2, you got to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. The sin, every one of us has something we have to struggle with. Every one of us has a weakness we've got to overcome. And from time to time, the enemy will come back to see if we let our guard down. Amen. Then that word that says so easily beset you, the word literally means to surround you. And you're going to have to lay it aside. You're going to have to put it down. Amen. God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus are not going to come down and yank it off of you. You're going to have to put it down. But the moment you put it down, I want you to know the Holy Ghost is right there to say, if you will believe, I will give you the power that you will be able to overcome, because you are not of the world, because you are of God. And greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. You're going to have to strive. But some are going to come to the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, let us in. And the most tragic words could ever be spoken. He's going to say, I don't know you. I don't know you. They're going to say, but Lord, I was raised in church. I went to church Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, 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 all day Sunday. I took communion every first Sunday in my church. I did all of these things. And you know what he's going to say? I don't know you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. The saddest words you could ever hear is for Jesus to say, I don't know you. You can't enter into my heaven. And we're not talking about people that never ever heard the gospel. We're talking about people who claim to be Christians and to know the Lord. I tell you what, I feel such a burning anointing on me, and I'm not even into the message really yet. So all I can say is, let's just put on your seatbelts, because I feel something here this morning. There's a spirit of burning and holiness. You may not like me. You may not like my style of preaching. You may think that's not the way I don't worry. Just forget about me and my style. I am who I am, and God uses donkeys. He can use me. If I say something that steps on your toes, you know, don't get mad at me. Just take it up with the Lord. But God is going to talk to us this morning. And before I get too wound up, because I already feel wound up, I want to take a moment just to tell you about something. And some of you are going to remember this. When I was a kid growing up, and there was a lot of game shows on TV, and one of them was called Truth or Consequences. And one of them was called To Tell the Truth. How many remember them? Now, the one To Tell the Truth, if as I can remember it, it was a game show where they had a host, and almost all game shows have host, obviously, and this one had a panel of four judges. They were on every game show. That same panel of judges was on. But every show, they had three new contestants, and these were unknown people. These were just people like you and me. They weren't celebrities. And the host, the three contestants would come out and stand on, you know, next to each other while the host would read the biography, one of them, but you didn't know which one it was. Now let's pretend that I was one of those up there and he was reading my bio. So it would read like this. I was born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland. I graduated from Southern High School in 1969. My father is the pastor of an independent Pentecostal church. I served in ministry with him. I've sung on the choir. I've taught Sunday school. I've preached in the pulpit. I'm the managing editor of Faith is Action magazine, a gospel magazine we publish each month. I'm married. I'm the mother of three children and grandmother of two children. What is my name? The host would have read that.
And here we got these three ladies standing up there, and the first one would say, "My name is Sharon Knotts." And the second one would say, "My name is Sharon Knotts." And the third one would say, "My name is Sharon Knotts." Now, they can't all three be Sharon Knotts. Only one of them is Sharon Knotts. Now, they don't recognize these people because they're just normal, average people. Amen? So then the three Sharon Knottses will go sit down while the four judges on the panel each get a turn to ask them questions. And the idea being that they want to try to ask questions so that they will divulge information and they can try to ascertain which of these seems to really answer the questions more satisfactorily, because they're probably the real Sharon Knotts. And that would be the idea, and each one of those judges would get a chance to do that. Now, the idea was that the contestants should be able to answer so cleverly that they could throw the judges off. That someone who wasn't Sharon Knotts could make the judge think that they are. And the person who was Sharon Knotts maybe be kind of vague so as not to not lie, because it's to tell the truth. Amen? But be vague to throw them off. And so now after each one, and of course the judges would make notes and you know, they would be able to think, oh, that judge asked a good question. And I'm thinking about this. At the end of it all, when the time was up, each judge had to say, well, I think it's number one or three or two or whoever. I think they're the real Sharon Knotts. And when all that was done and the host had asked them who you think the real Sharon Knotts is, and of course it was fun to see, because you see, you know, you're playing along with them and possibly you've already made a decision who you think the Sharon Knotts is. Amen. And finally, the host will say, now will the real Sharon Knotts please stand up? And you know, sometimes, let's say the real one was number two, but you know, sometimes number one will act like they're getting ready to stand up and they sit back down. And then all of a sudden number two stands up and says, my name is Sharon Knotts. And so it was fun to see which one was the real Sharon Knotts. Amen. And I'm using this analogy because sometimes we hear a lot of people say, I'm a real Christian. We hear a lot of people name the name of Christ, name the name of the Lord. And you're going to run into lots of people that say, I'm a Christian. Amen. But when you listen to the way they talk and you watch the way they walk, and you listen to the music they listen to and the things that they do, then you begin to find out, is that a real Christian? But I tell you what, it's time for the church to take a stand and say, will the real Christians please stand up? I said, will the real Christians please stand up? Amen. I want to know, are you a real Christian? You name the name of the Lord. Are you a real Christian? I'm not asking you what your denomination is. I don't care about your denomination. I don't care if you're Pentecostal or Baptist or Bapticostal. I don't care if you're a Methodist or a Charismatic. I want to know, are you real? I don't care if you go to the Church of God, the Church of God in Christ, the Assemblies of God. I don't care if you go to Faith Tabernacle. I don't care if you go to the First Church of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Apostles, Saints, and Angelic Host. I want to know, are you real? I want to know, are you real? I don't care if you call yourself Reverend, Apostle, Bishop, Prophet, Prophetess, First Lady, Missionary. I don't care what you call yourself. I want to know, are you real? Okay, now indulge me a moment. I have problems a lot of times with many of the titles that the people, church people, just love to lavish on us. And you know why? Because titles equal entitlements. And titles have a tendency to make people think they're entitled. I'm entitled to have the best seat. I'm entitled to have this honor. I'm entitled to do this. I'm entitled to do that. If somebody says to me, Sister Sharon, get up in front of the line, I'll get up in front of the line. But I'm not going to go say, hey, I want to get in front of the line. I'm Sister Sharon. I get in the back of the line, and if somebody says, let Sister Sharon go, you know what? I don't turn them down. I go. Jesus said, don't go there in the place you're invited for dinner and then go and sit in the best seat, because guess what? The host may come and say, excuse me, but that seat was for someone else. And then you got to get up in front of everybody and go sit in a lower seat and be embarrassed. You see, titles cause people to feel entitled. And that's the problem. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the body of Christ. Amen. It's about people that are sick and wounded, and they need love and care, and they need attention. The whole don't need attention. It's the sick and the bruised. They need a Savior. Amen. And you know, the best example is when James and John and their mother came to Jesus and said, Master, I want you to do something for me. Okay. It's hard to say no to a mother. Can my son sit on the left and the right in your kingdom? And Jesus said, well, first of all, that's not for me to say. I don't have the authority to make that decision. That's up to my Father. But, you know, let me just give you a little warning here. Do you know what you're asking for? And now he's talking to James and John. Do you know what you're asking for? Because are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? He wasn't talking about the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. He was talking about the baptism of suffering. He said, can you drink of the cup that I drink of? And you know them being young and green and zealous. Yes, Lord, we're able. They found out, didn't they? James was the first one that was killed. Herod beheaded him. And John, though he lived probably to be 100, he was boiled in oil. He was thrown on a rocky isle of Patmos full of snakes and reptiles. They learned, they definitely drank of the cup.
Amen. What a sin-busting, devil-chasing message. Will the real Christian please stand up? It's time for everyone who names the name of the Lord to depart from iniquity. If you're not living right, don't call yourself a Christian and get out of the church until you're ready to walk the talk. It's time for Christian celebrities to lay down their titles and take up their towels of humility and wash the feet of the saints and serve the body of Christ. It's time for the righteous of this generation who stand in God's holy hill behind the pulpits and lecterns of Christianity to purify their hearts and cleanse their hands. And it's time for all of us to prepare ourselves for the onslaught of religious, especially anti-Christian persecution that is being unleashed in our nation and will only increase as perilous times are here. If you are stirred by this clarion call of the Holy Spirit and you want to hear this message again and or share it with others, request offer number SK162 and send a love gift of $10 or more to support this radio ministry and help us keep the message. Messages like this, will the real Christian please stand up, on the air. Send $10 or more to R.G. Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203, and request offer number SK162. Or if you prefer, go online and order at www.rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. Remember, your love gift will help to keep messages like this on the radio. So order your copy today. Until next time, God bless you and Maranatha.